Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. If you haven't paid attention, because you're the only one that can talk to me. Everybody else is dealing with technical problems. It's a little broadcast music in here this morning, isn't it?
Technical problems. Right.
Yeah. People running in while we're on the air. Chris has that very tense look on his face. Means that something's gone horribly awry.
Yes.
Technically, something to do with tones and something.
Then getting like sound from here to there.
Right.
Out there.
I assume that only more than just you and I can hear each other, hear this conversation, but I could be wrong. In which case,
we're
just
talking to ourselves.
Right. We wouldn't really put that much effort into it like we normally
yada, yada,
do.
Blah, 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 blah.
Chris, are we actually talking to anybody but ourselves? Because otherwise, we're not going to. We're just going to.
We're good.
We're good.
Oh, all right. Now we can be scintillating.
Okay.
All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Because Jim and my normal conversations, we're not on air. Just not a lot of effort. You know what I'm saying? What's
okay.
The point? What would be the point there?
Right.
All right. So Eric Moeller joins us today because he could not make it Monday. I did it, Jim. Did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
I did it. I watched the video of the old woman with the dog in Oklahoma.
I didn't see it.
And that was a mistake. That made for a weepy day for me. I normally only weep in spinning, but this was, the old lady was talking about, she lost her whole house, and the dog was the only thing she had in the world, and then the dog, lifts its little head out of the thing, and she pulls it out, and, oh, God, that's a wasted day. A couple of boxes of wine. All right. You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Joe did about Umbrellagate, which, as you know, Jim, is still going strong. The fact that the president... I don't know why they bother. What with the Google machine? It took, Chris, about 3.5 seconds to see every other president in our history?
Right. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a Marine or somebody holding an umbrella for them.
And Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
And
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Joe, however, one historical anomaly, which is true, and I had forgotten about this. Staff, William Harrison was a real president. He didn't need no wussy umbrella. He gave his inaugural address in the rain and died from pneumonia 2 days later.
Yeah.
I think it's time to start doubling up on the troll be gone. Yes, that is true. A real man just stands in the rain,
right.
Takes it, Jim.
And
takes the pneumonia.
Gets pneumonia.
Like a man.
Pneumonia is weakness leaving the body.
Yeah, like a lumberjack. That's who we need. Okay. Meanwhile, the president yesterday, speaking about the tragedy in Oklahoma.
Neighborhoods were destroyed. Dozens of people lost their lives. Many more were injured. And among the victims were young children trying to take shelter in the safest place they knew, their school.
I know it's a totally different story, but can I just say, this is what I hate about when every time we go through budget cuts, they do all this teacher bashing. Because once again, teachers were heroes, and just like in Sandy Hook, there's all these stories of teachers that's probably saved a lot of kids' lives. This just sounds terrifying. The principal's voice came over the intercom at Plaza Towers Elementary School. A severe storm was approaching. Students were to go to the cafeteria, wait for their parents to pick them up. Before all of them could get there, though, the tornado alarm sounded. So the plan changed quickly. All the teachers started screaming into the room and saying, get into the hallway. We don't want you to die. Stuff like that, said a sixth grader. We just took off running. In the moments that follow, some of the children, obviously, of course, were killed at Plaza Towers Elementary. At least seven. Others would crawl out of the rubble, bloody, bruised, utterly terrified. I'm watching some of these kids. Parents recounted stories Tuesday of brave teachers who sheltered their pupils, in some cases by herding them into a closet in a restroom amid the fear and the panic. Again, just echoes of Sandy Hook, but a totally different story. But anyway, let's hear it for the teachers.
If only they'd been armed, they could have shot
right,
the tornado.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Good. So the only thing that could help there would be good guys with tornadoes,
right.
Apparently, according
right.
to. All right. So we, by the way, so we had a lot of, we were talking yesterday about, in terms of a preparation and how, whether you could build shelters or above ground, below ground, whatever, or tornado-proof homes in general. And it turns out they talked to some structural engineers, which
wow.
seems like that might be a good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope they didn't use Dorothy Gale's home as a model.
No.
Because that didn't
right.
so well.
Is Gale Force Winds named after her? No. It is possible. Maybe. It is possible to make your home tornado-proof, said one structural engineer, but it's not very practical. Number one, it's extremely expensive. Number two, it's probably not going to be very aesthetically pleasing. Another one said it's possible, but it's not a home anyone would want to live in because of, things like doors, windows, and roofs. You couldn't have
yeah.
those.
You couldn't have those?
No.
Oh.
To be completely safe, he said the entire house would need to be missile resistant. To reach that level of protection, one's home would have to be made with solid concrete, no windows, and a steel door.
I would think that
sounds inviting.
Yeah, that would be against HOA rules.
So?
Yeah.
But he said, we talked about this yesterday. Somebody from Oklahoma called, and they were saying you can't protect your family so much more inexpensively and safely with an above-ground safe room that's been tested and engineered, or with a below-ground shelter that has a tested door on it. Shelters, whether above or below the ground, can be installed by a home builder or constructed by the homeowner. The cost ranges anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000, which, you know, is still probably prohibitive to some people. But, you know, it seems...
Well, they should be able to, maybe the, you know, state or federal government can cough up some money for...
Well, you would think, in terms of, oh, we can't afford that, you know? It's just, it seems like the collateral damage, it's always like, well...
But we can afford having an entire town destroyed.
Right, and school kids killed, I guess, but so that oil companies can have subsidies and whatnot. Senator James Inhofe, I knew this would be good, the other senator from Oklahoma. He said on Tuesday that federal aid to tornado-ravaged parts of his home state will be totally different than the Hurricane Sandy aid bill that he voted against. Don't point out the hypocrisy in that. Just trust him. It's different.
It's completely different.
It's different that it's his red state and not the stupid blue state.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a coincidence.
He said in the case of Hurricane Sandy, everybody was getting in and exploiting the tragedy that took place. That won't happen in Oklahoma. So
exploiting the tragedy?
Yeah, here's why. Because he's a dummy is why. He said the Sandy relief bill was supposed to be in New Jersey, but they were getting things in the Virgin Islands, fixing roads there, putting roofs on houses in D.C. Both Inhofe and, as you know, Tom Coburn, both the Senate Republican senators from Oklahoma, voted to slash aid to victims of Hurricane Sandy.
Great.
At the time, Inhofe said he considered the full proposed aid amount to be a slush fund.
But when it's for his state.
Right. He's not so good with the science fun facts. While northeastern states like New York and New Jersey suffered some of the worst damage, as you'll recall from Hurricane Sandy, the storm actually affected 24 United States.
It was a big damn storm.
Right. Maybe someone could point out to him that hurricanes are different than tornadoes. Hurricanes, it's a wide... Right.
Yes.
Sandy carved a destructive path from the Caribbean Sea to all the way to the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned yesterday, Coburn said he would demand tornado relief funds for Oklahoma be offset by cuts elsewhere in the federal budget. So poor people and presumably other people in other states need to suffer.
Right, sure.
Right.
And poor people in his own state need to suffer.
Right.
Well.
They need to wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need to wait. Don't be greedy. Roof. What do you need that for? Walls. Really? Moochers. All right. Governor Mary Fallon of Oklahoma.
It has been a very, very hard experience, a heartbreaking experience, especially the loss of children and the schools themselves and those who haven't been able to find their loved ones and are still waiting to hear.
By the way, speaking of the money for, you know, fortifying places, officials in Moore, the city that was hit, obviously, complained earlier this year that federal grant funds that were intended to build safe rooms in the tornado-struck region were delayed. Plaza Towers and Briarwood Elementary Schools, both leveled by the twister, were both without safe rooms despite their precarious location. And as we mentioned, I think at least 7 children were found dead there. They complained in February that $2 million in federal grants to pay for safe rooms in 800 homes had been delayed by a shortage of funding and FEMA requirements that were a constantly moving target. So I'm sure we're going to hear more about that and why, you know, why it was delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? It's very hard to watch your distress. I'm trying not to look at you. It looks like gastrointestinal distress, but
no,
I know it's not.
We're trying to troubleshoot here.
I understand. I understand. How's that going?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, I would. But I guess I'm on a need-to-know basis.
Yes, you are.
As to whether I'm
just do your little show.
Whether I'm actually talking to anyone but you, once again.
No, you're talking to people.
Okay, this may be one of the funniest letters we've gotten recently in the mailbag.
Oh.
The one that came through the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill us for the life insurance money.
Yes.
Give me some listener comments.
All right.
Mike is hilarious. Hang on, let me get my bleep ready. What's up, Ms. Miller? I watch your show every day and I love every second of it. Right away. He had me at hello. During yesterday's show, a woman from Oklahoma called in and expressed why the majority of the electorate in that state hate our president. Chris said he did not think it was as simple as the president's skin color and that Bill Clinton received the same disrespect. I'm speaking as a very liberal black man, and I loved Wild Bill, but I never heard anyone question Clinton's citizenship. I never saw Clinton depicted with a mother bone in his nose. Clinton never had some redneck goat call him a liar during the State of the Union address. Mr. Obama's presidency has given these snaggletooth-toothbred inbreds crazy. I normally agree with you guys on everything, but this time I must dissent. P.S. Has anyone told Reverend Al he is wearing a microphone? Kisses, Mike.
As long as I'm not wearing the blueberry pie.
That's the line of the day so far. Mr. Obama's presidency has driven these snaggletooth inbreds crazy. And it's true, and I agree with you, Mike. And once again, Chris is wrong.
Here's a fun fact about Oklahoma. All 77 Oklahoma counties voted for Mitt Romney in 2012.
Right.
Is he going to invest in some of his Cayman Island millions into rebuilding Oklahoma? Step up, Republicans. Show the rest of the nation how to rebuild without government assistance.
There you go. There you go, See? Mittens. How about a little gratitude, huh? Mittens? What's going on?
Every county voted for you.
Yeah.
You might come up with some
one.
Scratch.
There you go. There you go. That's a pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, do-it-yourself, or kind of, there you go. Okay. Thank you, Jen. That was a delightful fun fact. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, so much more out of Oklahoma. And the IRS hearings obviously started yesterday. We have all of that and Eric Vollert as we continue. 17 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
So funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in North Carolina. Hi, John.
Yeah, in Chris's favor, nothing good really does happen after 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
I tuned in Fox News, and the anchor said, I'm almost quoting him, best I can, did President Obama know about the IRS harassing conservatives? Probably not, but we'll talk about impeaching him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but on to the impeachment, right. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, John. Yeah, as somebody wrote a great piece in Salon, I believe it was, about, you know, what's his name? Who am I thinking of? Bob Woodward, you know, that it just, he's gotten so pathetic. It's just in trying to be relevant. Like, he gives the answer I think they want him to give, that, oh, yes, this is Ralph Shades of Watergate. What?
No, it isn't.
No. They write in Salon, the confused this is he's talking specifically about Benghazi on this one. The confused squabbling undertaken by bureaucrats in the foggy hours after a chaotic overseas tragedy is just like a sitting president orchestrating a months-long campaign of deception to hide criminal activities undertaken by his reelection committee. It's like, as I've said over and over, pick up a history book or two, for God's sakes. Raj in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Raj.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
You know, the Republicans and all those guys, Eric Cantor, yesterday, commenting on the natural disaster in Oklahoma, all sympathies, you know, for the children, you know, 9 children died. Yeah, that's understandable. But the same guys in the Sandy Hook, 20 children died with the gun violence. No such thing there. No sympathy there for the parents who testified and any comments. So that's because NRA is involved. If NRA is involved, guns are involved, you know, just poo-poo this, you know, no sympathy. This is the way their mind works, their brain works. Mm-hmm. Just observation.
Yes, all right. Thank you, Raj. Appreciate it. What?
What?
What? What?
No, I love his accent.
Governor Mary Fallon yesterday.
Yes.
Governor.
The streets are just gone. The signs are just gone. So we've been working very hard to identify various areas of need.
Those pictures are just continue to be like incredible. You just think, and I know we always rebuild, but you go, how do you rebuild from that? Is just it really is like, you know, you can't war zone, whatever. I mean, it's almost not a comparison that makes sense, you know.
And now you know why I cried on the air yesterday after watching that video, huh?
I know. Well, at least I had the good sense not to watch on air. I was useless for the rest of the day.
I know. Yeah.
Oh,
a lot of people were.
Oh, the dog is a little schnauzer. I hate the schnauzer growing up. And he put his little head.
We did too. So, yeah.
Okay.
And it looks so scared.
I know. I know. Oh, my God.
I didn't see it, but I did punch myself in the face.
Good,
so,
good.
Good.
So at least you felt our pain.
Right.
<Go ahead. laughs> That was the alternative we offered.
Sure.
If you won't watch this, just, you know, all right.
Boom.
There you go. Now you got something to cry about, don't you? All right. Yeah, see, war zone. Oklahoma City survivor yesterday.
It looked like a war zone. It just looked like bombs had been ignited everywhere. There's a car part in my bedroom, you
wow.
know. It's everything's gone, you know. Just in a matter of 30 minutes, your whole life is torn upside down.
Oh, boy. And by the way, so I knew it. I knew we were going to hear this from Rush Limbaugh. I heard other right-wing hosts yesterday talking about, oh, I love this. They said that Senator Boxer is the dumbest senator in the United States. Because she mentioned climate change yesterday on the Senate floor. First of all, you can disagree with Barbara Boxer. She is not dumb. She's one of the smartest people I've ever
yeah.
met anyway. But, because she had the audacity to talk about scientists that had testified. For a committee saying this is what we're going to see.
Right.
These sort of extreme weather events.
And it's exactly what's happening.
Coincidence!
Yeah.
It's stupid.
I don't get it. Well, I'll tell you later who. Their hosts are not extreme right wing, and I was actually surprised because they're smart guys. And I was like, really? You really think, you know, global warming's a hoax? I mean, it's like when people go, because they, you know, their thing is, oh, there's always been, you know, tornadoes. There was one in 18, whatever. There was no, it's like, what? No one's saying there hasn't always been weather events.
Right.
Scientists are saying they are increasing, and the severity of them are increasing.
And the ice
due to climate change.
Yes,
that's. I honestly thought this debate was over.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's not. Now there's the hoax thing has made a strong comeback. Apparently, Chris Christie has joined the Yahoos because that's the biggest sign yet that he wants to be president. Forget the lap dance surgery.
Lap dance surgery.
You know what I mean. Yeah, my good friend, who I want to date and kiss, Michael Tomosky of the Daily Beast, writes, Chris Christie joins the Yahoo, says no proof climate change caused Sandy. That's not what he said even during Sandy. So Michael's saying, what did he just to get the federal funds? And now he's like, Mike Tomosky writes, months after his state was ravaged by extreme weather, the New Jersey governor now publicly denying climate change. Expect more of that kind of idiocy as he gears up for 2016.
Yeah.
A reporter, I don't know if you saw this, a reporter asked him, about her station's investigative report on the state's extreme lack of preparedness for Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
He tends to be a little tetchy when he's criticized.
But,
should state agencies, he was asked to make preparations with climate change in mind. This report is actually pretty damning because New York was much better prepared than
right.
Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Largely due to that, because guess what? They talked to climate change scientists about how they might.
Huh.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a NYC WJPR report showing New Jersey's preparations for Sandy were a joke compared with New York's. They asked him on the boardwalk, should New Jersey have prepared with climate change in mind? No, the governor said, because I don't think there's been any proof so far that Sandy was caused by climate change. Tomosky writes, he can't fuck the base on this litmus test question and hold out any hope he obviously feels of winning the Republican nomination in 2016. It's non-negotiable, and he's not even going to try.
He can't what the base?
I said, what?
Buck.
Buck?
Buck.
I said buck.
Okay.
All right. It sounded like something
you're
else.
Just, well, you're just nervous because
no, we both look at each other.
Buck.
And, okay.
Maybe I should keep trying that. I thought you were just panicky from the
earlier. No, he and I both looked at each other. What'd she say?
Well, he can the base. I mean, he's big enough now, but my point is, he can't. Go.
Gravity's a hoax.
Right. No, if anybody proves gravity, for surezies, that would be Chris Christie.
It's not man-made, though.
That would be the Governor Soros. Mm. All right. What's man-made? Oh.
Gravity.
Right. Okay.
Global warming is probably man-made.
Gravity is when you need to, like, use a state helicopter and then a limo to get 10 yards to your kid's baseball game.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. More out of Oklahoma. But I honestly was a little bit stunned by that yesterday, the ferocity of the, I'm just saying, mainstream Republicans just a few years ago were saying climate change is real and men are causing it. I'm like, what?
If you're relying on the oil companies to fund your campaign, though,
you have to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Because you want the money.
The ExxonMobil scientist that says different. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. super hot and she's so successful, but she has a pug that she pushes around in a stroller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert coming up at the top of the hour.
Yeah, rescheduled from Monday.
Yes. Darlene in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Darlene.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say I've been listening to the conversation on the senators from Oklahoma.
Right.
And I think that we should call their bluff. Of course, we know we're going to help them because we're Americans.
Yep.
And we do that. But since they're grandstanding, I think we should all say, okay, let's show, what do you want to offset, just to be jerks about it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, someone, when Senator Inhofe said that, I mean, I just can't even imagine the amount of time that people suffered from Hurricane Sandy because people like him voted against aid.
Exactly.
And he literally has the audacity to say, oh, this is different. Now it's different. Really? I mean, really.
It isn't different. And I, unfortunately, was part of the 2011 tornadoes that came through my farm.
Right.
And believe me, the outpouring of people, Americans will help each other. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So he's just talking through his, you know what.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at, you know, Darlene, in all these stories, we see that. We see all these, you know, all these hero stories and people helping each other. And as someone said yesterday, nobody's asking, are you a Democrat or a Republican or are you this or that? And then when it comes time to actually help and do what the government should do best, and that's help in disasters and emergencies. You know,
Well, of course we're going to do that. Yeah. But I just think that grandstanding, and it's about time we call them out, because I living in North Carolina, I'm tired of them dictating the conversations. It just gets so monotonous, because we know that they're all full of, you know what?
Yeah, well, I mean, look at during the political cycles, as I was saying, they beat up on the firefighters and cops and the teachers and the unions, and boy, you sure appreciate them at times like this, don't you?
Of course we do, and I'm both a liberal and a teacher in North Carolina, so you can imagine I'm tired of getting beat up.
There you go. Thanks, Darlene. Appreciate it.
Speaking of Republicans,
yes.
Is Representative Stephen Fincher, Republican of Tennessee.
Oh, yes.
He gets millions in farm subsidies and denounces food stamps as stealing other people's money.
Right. Come
so
on
it's
down.
Different.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Right-wing hypocrites.
Yes, of course. Different.
Great.
When it's his. Okay, Bill in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. I'd like to be known as the official steel salesman of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why, yes, I don't.
Have you had one yet?
I have no need for steel this morning, but call again, won't you?
Okay. Right. Well, anyway, talking about the Republican governors and their climate denial, I was reminded of when I lived in Wisconsin. And I went to a luncheon, and the speaker was a gentleman running for governor by the name of Scott Walker.
Right.
And the course of the speech, he said, we need legislation about climate change based on something other than whatever Al Gore rolls out of bed and says it is.
Ah.
The room erupted. Everyone stood up other than me. And it just, you know, they are just so hook, line, and sinker batting down the hatches on this climate denial. Mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Al Gore, after he jumped out of bed and talked to every scientist in the world.
Right.
There's that.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. So there's that. Okay. One of these survivors yesterday in Oklahoma.
I have blood in my hair from my friend. She was on top of me. She was bleeding because she got hit pretty hard.
Really? God, these poor kids.
I know.
How did you ever get over that kind of trauma? They were just, you saw them, you know, just in pictures, terrified.
Yeah. And the parents were just as terrified. You know, they were running across the parking lot to each other when they finally saw each other. It's like, oh,
I know.
God.
The death toll stands at 24 now,
yeah.
I believe. So, and I think obviously recovery efforts are winding down. I think they feel like they've obviously found everybody at this point.
Yeah.
But anyway, we will keep you updated. Oh, there is always one little comedy nugget of gold in the midst of every tragedy, and that comedy nugget, Jim, is Wolf Blitzer. Now I know we will never top.
So
our favorite moment in Hurricane Katrina.
So hungry, so black.
Right. He actually said that.
Say what? So
look
poor,
at all
so
those. You do have to. I've had to fill time, you know, during it. A lot of times, you know, they're on for a long time, and they're tired, and it's coming. But I'm just saying, the things that Wolf Blitzer blurts out.
Priceless.
Yes. Yeah, that's what he was saying. He was at Hurricane Katrina, and that was after several hours, but he just said, look at all those people down there, so poor, so hungry, so black. Okay.
There's probably not a day goes by that he doesn't hear about that.
Right. Right. Hi, Wolf. I am pleased to meet you, and I'm so black. Although you probably noticed that.
Yeah.
Okay. This is pretty good, though. Okay, this will teach you to try and inject religion in things, right?
Right.
Okay.
So we're happy you're here. You guys did a great job. Yeah. And I guess you got to thank the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Do you thank the Lord for that split-second decision?
I'm actually an atheist.
Oh, you are. All right. But you made the right call.
Yeah, yeah. We are here, and you know, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
Of course not. So.
Aw. Well, she handled it well.
She was a polite atheist.
Yes. Much like me.
No, actually, Wolf, I credit the time that I did not spank thanking the Lord and getting my ass out of there.
Yeah.
Had I stopped to ask the Lord for something.
I might have got hit by a plank.
I stopped to read some Bible verses when a house landed on me.
Yes. Time that I saved by not praying and skedaddling my ass out of there was what? Oh, dear. that's a perfect example, though. About, you know, everybody says, like, an atheist can never be elected president.
Yeah.
We so, like, reflexively in this country just go, oh, you thank the Lord. You do thank the Lord.
Couldn't the Lord have stopped this damn hurricane?
Yes.
That could,
tornado?
That could also be someone like Wolf Blitzer assuming that everybody in flyover country is religious.
Right.
Right. You know?
Exactly.
And you just can't assume that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-oh. That's going to get played tomorrow on radio shows
so
along
poor.
With the so black comment. Oh, yikes.
So Midwestern.
Oh, heavens.
So atheistic.
Greetings, Bible thumpers.
Oh.
Oh,
although
Wolf,
I had a friend of mine who is from Oklahoma say that he hopes that woman isn't followed and run out of town because she's now come out as an atheist on national television.
Yeah, which is worse than being gay. And apparently,
yeah, exactly.
Oklahoma. Yikes.
So, you know, because when you move to Oklahoma, they say, what's your name? What church do you go to?
Uh-huh. Right.
Right. That's always like the second question that people ask.
Yeah, that'll
ask
be
you.
Nice. She survives the tornado and then gets, you know, pestered.
Yeah.
Out of
proselytized
Oklahoma.
To.
Right. Yeah. So be like, how much you want to bet, right? She's like, oh, I am not answering the door, really. Nobody's here.
I'm an Eighth-day Adventist.
I installed tornado-proof
We're better than the
soundproofing on my door. I cannot hear you.
La, 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 la.
Have you found Jesus? No.
He was just here a minute ago.
I don't know what he did with him. He went out to get some KFC. He'll be right back.
When will Jesus bring the pork chop?
Yeah.
Indeed, George Carlin, indeed. When? Stephanie in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm really sad. I was watching and looking at pictures of the devastation down there, and it's really sad. And it's also really interesting because there are no basements. I mean, I'm from the Midwest, so we get lots of tornadoes here, too. And we go down into the basement, and we come out, and we see the devastation, but people are alive. And the reason why there are no basements is because there are no codes in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know,
no
Steph,
codes because
I
don't want the government intruding.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. I mean, Steph, that's the thing. It's just, you know, I think that the right reflexively screams you're politicizing anything when you have the audacity to talk about guns after and mental health after Sandy Hook. I mean, the thing we've talked about, Steph, is why isn't there more on this Texas story? That was totally preventable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
and this could have been, I mean, it's obviously a natural disaster, but more those kids in those schools could have been saved, right? I mean, they didn't. It breaks my heart. And this isn't the first time that this has happened in Moore. And I just think that if people thought more sensibly about where government's role is, they would be a lot better off. We're not intruding. It really is trying to make people safer. Really is. And I wish I hope that comes out of this time.
Yeah, well, it was like during Katrina when people were like, see, FEMA doesn't work. It's like not with George Bush running it.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Heck of a job, Brandy.
Yeah, way to go. Good job. Really? Jim, don't leave. Travis says that Mary sounds cuddly today. And there's only a minute left.
God.
Is that okay? Don't leave. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say you know, these things going on, tornadoes, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Americans come together to help. But in my opinion, the government sends so much money overseas, but yet they can't help people here when there's a tragedy.
But the president has already signed the order to help in Oklahoma.
Even military people that come back here,
you're right. We do send too much money overseas.
You got people on TV,
right.
Asking for donations. It's pitiful.
Right, but the president's already signed aid for it. It's Republicans like Jim.
But it's always Republicans. See, you always make
no,
it
it's Senator Coburn has already said he's not going to vote for aid for his own state.
Political.
All right, well.
You do. You
okay, Senator Coburn is one of the people that wants to stop
the
aid.
But it's always political with you people.
All right.
But Senator Coburn kind of made it political.
No, you know what? It's a tragedy. As far as global warming, you know what? Who's going to control the weather, really?
You know what?
Oh, boy.
Who is going to control the weather? Unless this country's
scientists have some thoughts on it.
In a bubble, maybe? Okay, this is life.
That's just life?
Yeah, that's weather,
okay.
Life.
Okay.
Ice age, think about it.
Right. Okay. All right, Mayor, this is, as things go, this was pretty good between us. All right. Miss you already.
Okay.
Oh, I got a little chuckle out of her. Okay.
It's the first time I think she's ever chuckled or showed a happy emotion.
It's political if the president puts up money for doing, but it's not political if Coburn turns it down.
But they're politicians. Political.
Was I wrong to think in my thought bubble that we all come together because it's all white people in Oklahoma? Is that what I'm thinking? She was a little more inclusive this morning.
They
all voted for Romney.
Maybe it's me.
Oklahoma has the largest Native American population of any
state
in the country.
She doesn't mean that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. 45 minutes.
You know what? Those people go back where they came from.
You know what? Okay. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I love that, Jim. Chris says that Jody Arias feels that the jury betrayed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you stab a guy 47 times and suddenly you're a bad person.
29.
Okay, only 29.
Right away, you're a murderer. Ugh. Yikes, the jury's like, that makes me so mad. You betrayed me. Yeah. Okay.
Your job is to declare me innocent.
Road Flare Mary was just talking about our foreign aid and how much we spend. The hot Brie Melissa Fitzgerald reminds us that we spend about 1% of our federal budget on foreign aid. Mary is a crazy maker. I understand why Jim walks out on her. Oh, Mary. No.
You think you're so smart. Sweet Captain Crunch. Sweet Captain Crunch. Sweet Captain Crunch.
I like the phlegm at the end. That was nice. We send all our money overseas, and then when we need to help you, I'm like, the president already signed the order.
Yeah.
Douches like Tom Coburn that are stopping it.
Speaking of money overseas, Mitt Romney's got a lot of money in the Cayman Islands.
Yes.
You know what? You people always make it political. Okay.
I don't think she's ever coughed on the air. I think we just described that to her.
We feel that there's a big spasm after she gets off the air. Okay.
You know what?
I picture her husband running over with a spittoon after every call. That could just be me. Hurry up!
Or her son.
Owen!
Her son.
You clumsy poop.
Yeah.
Scrape the cords off my feet!
How long does it take to scrape feet? Longer than it takes to make chicken pepperoni.
That's a different movie. Okay.
I love that movie. John seems like old times with Goldie Hawn.
John, and don't you a snap at me. John in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, Stephanie. It's good to talk to you. I'm a first-time watcher of your show. I love it.
Oh,
I love it. I was raised a good Bible-thumping Republican, went in the service, fought for my country 3 times in Iraq. Hmm. I came home and realized how wrong I was, and praying for God's intervention does seem to be an asinine thing to do. as one of your co-hosts stated, if God was concerned, he would have stopped the tornadoes before they came in.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody called yesterday, right, and said, oh, we don't talk about, you know, God enough. And I thought, well, he was talking about it's because it's that old, we've turned our back, America's turned their back on God, and that's what, really?
I
then
don't
God's
think so.
Your God's a jerk then, yeah. Really? Because I'm going to kill some school kids because, you know, you're having abortions? I mean,
it's disgusting. My parents have all but disowned my little sister because she had an abortion. She wasn't in a place in her life where she could have a child. She was heavily involved in drugs, and it's just not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
To bring a child in like that. And I tell you, it's actually quite lonely in the Bible Belt being an atheist that loves his American pit bull terrier and even smokes a little pot once in a while.
What?
Oh, my God.
All right.
You know,
terrible.
John, that's
I'm
what I'm saying.
Terrible man.
You're a bad man.
I'm going to wish you out in the cornfield. You're a bad man.
No, but John, there is no consistency. At least if they have consistency in their arguments, they keep talking about small government. They don't want big government. And then we did a story yesterday. A Republican in Virginia is talking about a bill where women would have to report their miscarriages to the police within 24 hours or be, you know, or risk jail. I mean, it's just during the middle of a personal, private tragedy like that, really.
It's ever since Dwight David Eisenhower put "In God We Trust" on everything, thus violating the separation of church and state. Mm. This country has been in a shithole.
Oh boy! Righty then.
Okay.
Let me just pray briefly for mine to retain my FCC license.
Did you get that current?
He's turned me into a Bible thumper now. Okay.
Not all atheists say words like that.
No. All right. Bob in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie and gang, and I'll keep it relatively clean.
Thank you.
one thing that I don't think has been pointed out, and of course right-wing wacko religious nuts would go crazy and jump on this, Sunday afternoon, Oklahoma City held their gay pride parade before the tornado.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gays cause weather.
Well, you remember Pat Robertson said that's why that hurricane hit Florida because of Gay Day at Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's no doubt.
Yeah.
It's only logical.
Yes.
It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. God clearly has gay Doppler gaydar, something. That's where he picks where he's going next.
Mega gaydar 7000.
Right. Okay, Carolyn except in Minnesota, that doesn't work there, clearly because of the Bachmans.
Right.
Gaydar doesn't function there.
No. There's like a dome over Minnesota that shields it from gaydar.
In bone white.
Yeah. Cell phone towers are blocking it.
Carolyn in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mook.
Hello.
I love you guys, and you make me realize that I'm not completely insane when I wake up in the morning and realize the rest of the world is not.
Oh, no, you probably are if you like us, but that's okay.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Right. We make you care less.
I wanted to comment that on Facebook there was a picture posted of a little boy being rescued from the rubble yesterday, and every
everybody's comments on the picture was praise Jesus, thank God, thank Him with a capital H.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know where were all the thank yous to the rescue workers and to the teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not one single person. There were like 30 comments, and every single one was praise God in some way. And
well, and what kind of God decides, like, what, that some kids have to die? And so that's what I don't, when people inject God into it, I don't understand. I mean, maybe someone can explain it. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Don't forget, you can still text Red Cross to 90999 to donate $10 for the folks in Oklahoma. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, here's a woman after my own heart.
Oh.
They're doing something egregious in Kentucky. Hello, Lisa. Good morning.
Hi, Helen.
Hi. They're trying to lower the blood alcohol limit for driving. Is that what you want to talk about?
That's right. Right. I watched the Senate debate on this, where the National Board of Transportation mm-hmm. presented their findings.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to lower it, and they want to lower it. The reason is our laws aren't tough enough now, and mm-hmm. all the other national countries that have lowered it, and we should be where they're at.
Right.
But they want 0% death. Alcohol-related deaths, 0%.
Right. Do you like to nip a little moonshine before you go for a drive, Lisa?
No.
No. Of course
no, I
not.
Don't.
All right. So, okay. But, all right. I was just checking. Okay.
But texting while driving is perfectly fine. Boom. Oh, what happened?
No, there's a complete prohibition against that. There's not a complete prohibition against drinking and driving. There's up to a certain level.
Except it's not enforced because I see people all the time.
It's his bugaboo.
I know it's his bugaboo. He brings it up every day.
I'm probably going to get killed by a 16-year-old girl texting.
Uh-oh. And no, please don't. Please don't kill our voice deity. All right, let's talk to our good friend Eric Bollert from Media Matters. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert. Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Good morning, Eric Bollert.
Good morning.
This is, when I have to survive till Wednesday, till I talk to you, you don't understand. anyway, some great stuff as usual. We talked about this last week, but I seriously, if I have to hear one more person yell Watergate about any of these Obama scandals, as you say, Obama's Gallup approval rating on the day of ABC's exclusive Benghazi report, 48%. Obama approval rating today, 51%. I mean, thank God it seems like thus far people get this for the noise it is, right?
Yeah, and you know, there's some important noise in there, but there's not. It certainly doesn't reflect the scandal coverage. You know, Pew has done some polling on, you know, what stories people are following, and Gallup has pointed out that, you know, these three so-called scandals really don't rate in terms of big White House presidential news events compared to recent years. But you know, that doesn't stop the pundits, right? Gerald Seeb at the Wall Street Journal on Monday talking about, you know, Obama's second term blues. Bill Keller, the New York Times, talking about how Obama's second term has been knocked off course. And if you look at Gallup, Washington Post, CNN, his ratings are actually up in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So for a president who's been derailed by scandal, he hasn't really been derailed at all. You know, all these pundits talking about how his credibility is damaged and you can't trust the White House. And, you know, it's kind of Clinton-esque in that the polls are showing people are like, tell me about unemployment again. Tell me about how the Dow is doing now. Tell me about something that we care about and stop this breathless, you know, inside the Beltway coverage about the, you know, these process scandals.
Well, you know, and I love you say the best tweet ever from Eric Bolling. Conspiracy theorist in me says that the IRS and the AP phone scandals are a cover for the about to explode Benghazi scandal. What?
And then after I tweeted that, he tweeted back at me. He was very angry, and he said in his tweet back to me, he accused Obama. He said Obama, quote, doesn't care, unquote, about the Benghazi dead. So it sort of highlights, you know, the complete frustration, you know, Fox News has had, particularly about the Benghazi story, which is, you know, petered out for about the ninth time in 8 months. You know, this was supposed to be, right, as he said, the about to explode. And even Fox, you know, temporarily, I think, has given up on that story, unquote, the cover-up. And it's because, you know, the Jonathan Karl reporting was so awful.
Right, at ABC.
That story imploded, and there was no there in terms of, you know, the White House trying to cover for the State Department, and the campaign was practically writing the talking points and all that nonsense.
Well, Eric, you know, you write about this, but that's my irritation, too. Why isn't that a bigger story? ABC reported something that was written by Republicans that deliberately changed White House emails to make them look bad. I mean,
a couple of people last week were wondering, you know, folks on the left, you know, Josh Marshall at Talking Points Memo was wondering, you know, why isn't this a bigger deal? Right. I mean, Carl got played pretty badly. First, he said he reported he kept going on TV saying ABC had obtained these emails. Well, they hadn't obtained them. You know, a Republican source read him a summary, and he actually he read an incorrect summary of at least one crucial email. So, right, I think there's a couple reasons it's not a big deal. You know, I sort of sarcastically tweeted, maybe, you know, Democrats are used to awful journalism, so it doesn't even, you know, it doesn't surprise them anymore. Democrats and liberals don't really wallow in the victimization the way the right wing does. There isn't this general feeling that we need to spend all our time and energy, you know, playing victim against the liberal conspiracy in the press. And I think the White House in general has no interest in, you know, waging war with the mainstream media or trying to denounce it. But they certainly could have in the case of Carl, and ABC still has not posted any kind of apology, still hasn't explained why, you know, Carl was inaccurately claiming that he had obtained the emails. There just hasn't been any accountability, and it's a shame because without that erroneous reporting, the Benghazi wouldn't have been,
right.
You know, the cover-up story wouldn't have been resurrected for the ninth time.
Well, and, you know, as you say, too, you can't certainly spend time trying to answer charges from Fox because, as you write, like, stuff that they report, when it turns out to be wildly inaccurate, they just move on to the next
story.
They don't ever, in fact, we had a caller last week, Eric, that said this thing about, who ordered the Navy SEALs to stand down and not help the people there? And you, as you write here, the problem with the Fox report, Glenn Doherty had actually been 600 miles away in Tripoli on the night of the attack and was part of the team sent to Benghazi to defend the diplomatic facilities where he was killed in the final attack. Fox, as you say, never publicly corrected or acknowledged the glaring error.
Yeah, that was my piece was, you know, when it looked like the ABC story was legit, you know, Fox went on this victory lap tour saying, we were right about Benghazi all along. Now everyone is catching up to us. And my point was, you know, really, Benghazi is your example of sterling Fox News journalism? I mean, they've just been making stuff up for 9 months. And, that's where the whole Ben Zombie, you know, phenomena comes in. You know, why weren't the SEALs sent in? Why didn't Obama send, you know, the troops in? I mean, these questions have been answered by the military 150 different times. And so that's when you know you're really in an echo chamber, when questions have been answered and 9 months later they're just being asked over and over and over again, whether it's the talking points or security or, you know, why did Obama, you know, as Peggy Noonan wrote a column, you know, she basically accused Obama of watching, you know, being aware of the attack in real time.
Right.
And being asked again and again, you know, can we send these troops? Can we send these special teams? And him saying, no, because I want to win re-election. I mean,
I know.
This is that's for the Wall Street Journal. And again, as I wrote last November, you know, Benghazi is so important to the right because it encapsulates this monster image they have of him, and it allows this they project this storyline into this traitorous, un-American person who will let Americans die for his own political calculation. That's why it just keeps feeding on itself over and over, because it's the mythology that they embrace, and that's what they want Obama to be. That's what they've told everyone Obama really is. He is this monster out to destroy the American way of life. So this is why this movie just
And the proof is the story we just made up.
Right. You know, Eric, I don't know if you read John Favreau in The Daily Beast, How Obama Handles Crisis, but, you know, he was the president's speechwriter. He knows him very well, and he said it was an interesting story about somebody said, oh, last Friday was a really bad day for you, Mr. President, meaning, you know, all these, you know, these quote-unquote scandals. And the president said, yeah, you know what was a really bad day? The day Benghazi actually happened.
Yeah.
That was a bad day.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't, you know, and he, you know, he just sort of says he's not going to chase these news cycles. He actually does what he thinks is the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the White House has responded, you know, pretty well to all three of them. I mean, at the time there was sort of this fever pitch and all of these things were going to, you know, destroy the second term. But as I said, the polls show the opposite. You know, for a scandal, traditionally there has to be criminality. I mean, that has always been the basis, whether it's Iran-Contra or some of the other major ones. And there's simply no criminality, and there's simply no evidence that the White House was plotting all of these things and covering up its steps.
Somebody said that as well. I was just saying, I think it was in Salon talking about that, you know, obviously Watergate's the wrong comparison. Whitewater is a better comparison. It's a fishing expedition that they were saying Whitewater led to travel gate to this gate to whatever, to Lewinsky. It's like it's a fishing expedition, not, as you say, anything that's even vaguely analogous to Iran-Contra or Watergate.
Yeah, and the Whitewater is important for another reason, because what the administrations have learned since then, and particularly Democratic ones, was hands off everything. I mean, the reason the Whitewater, the reason all these things were elongated, besides the fact that it was inept, you know, Kenneth Starr and Republicans pushing it, was, you know, the White House would be in touch with just Justice Department or got a heads up about something, and then the, you know, Republicans freaked out and claimed conspiracy and cover up. Now with these, you know, the IRS and the DOJ, we're seeing time and time again the White House, you know, has no connection with any of these. They don't call. They don't want a heads up. There's this firewall around the White House and these agencies and the investigations. And so now Republicans have turned that around and saying, well, he's detached. He's not interested. Basically saying, why wasn't Obama, why wasn't he meddling in the DOJ?
Why didn't he know it? And when didn't he know it, right?
And they learned from the Clintons, which is you just don't. You don't touch it, because if there's proof that you were, there's going to be hell to pay. So now the irony is Republicans are blaming him for not meddling in other investigations.
God. And by the way, great timing on Rumsfeld's book. I love your tweet about Donald Rumsfeld on Fox scolding the White House for telling lies and being incompetent was like some kind of crazy piece of neocon performance art.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it is where you just nod your head, Eric, at the TV going, really? Really?
Yeah. And what was it? A couple of weeks ago, Joe Scarborough had Bush's former attorney general on to talk about, you know, these scandals and the politicization of the, you know, what he had done, the exact same thing. I said, you know, irony is really dead. We have these parade of Bush administration officials explaining how, you know, you're really supposed to do things when they set a pretty low bar, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Eric Bowler, you are worth waiting for. I count the days till Monday. Thanks, honey. There he goes. Eric Bowler, Media Matters. What?
Not Monday.
Oh, not Monday, because we're off, because it's Memorial Day.
Yes.
Okay. Ooh, I have to wait a long time to talk to him. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free for anywhere. Oh, by the way, Damien in Pennsylvania writes, to all you Republicans who like to tell liberals how unchristian we are, answer this question for me. What would Jesus offset?
Exactly.
All right, I can cure your leprosy, but...
Maybe Jesus is out back framing some houses. He's a carpenter, after all.
Right.
Okay, Noel in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Noel.
Hi, this is Noel.
Hi, Noel.
I just found you today for the first time.
You're the first Noel I've had on the show.
Well, thank you.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, thank you.
I found your show for the first time today when I turned on the TV and was really kind of excited to see a female talk show host. Many years ago in the 90s, I had my own international radio talk show host broadcaster on shortwave and TV satellite dish. And I'm kind of concerned that in many, many cases, we're seeing so much bashing going on of other political groups, and I would really like to see maybe where there could be somebody maybe a little bit more independent on your show.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So we can really have sort of like a balance there.
Oh.
I respect what you guys are doing, but my concern is when those of us who have served in the military, and we have to go by a SOP, a standing operating procedure, and those of us that are senior officers or enlisted, I mean, if we don't know what's going on with those people below us, ultimately the responsibility has to end up with us.
Right.
The leadership.
Well, listen, I can't control these idiots I work with. If that's what you're referring to.
They're not idiots, believe. I'm sure they're gentlemen.
Oh, but, of course they. Not to me, but I'm sure they are.
But what I'm concerned about is the fact is that those, with somebody like the commander in chief of Obama, when
commander in chief of Obama?
No, the commander in chief.
Right, he is Obama. Who is Obama? That's right.
President Obama.
Okay.
Yes.
President Obama. All right. When whatever it is that they're saying that, oh, he couldn't have known this and he couldn't have known that, ultimately, whether he did or not, or whether, you know, whether it's something that he chose to overlook at the time or leave it to the responsibility of other people to handle, ultimately the responsibility rests with him. He is the leader of this country. And that means not only the good, but also the bad. And I think what would be really nice is if people would, you know, stop bashing this party or that party or doing the mudslinging, because to me that doesn't get us anywhere. Don't you agree?
Well, in some cases, yes. But when Republican Senator Tom Coburn says that he wants offsets before he gets disaster aid for his own state, I think he's
Yeah, but when you get someone like Peter DeFazio here in Oregon, who stood up at a town hall meeting and swore up and down that he understood why we did not want Obamacare here and he would not vote for it, he then went behind our back and made a little private concession. If you give me this one little item for the state of Oregon, I will go ahead and vote for Obamacare, even though I told my state I would not. And it was very disconcerting to see he was the one standing behind Obama with those other 15
President
people
Obama.
Watching
President.
Him sign the bill.
Right.
So he betrayed us. He lied to us and told us he would not.
How dare he get you health care? That is awful.
Yeah, that's so awful.
No, I think what it is what we should have done is we should have taken more time to look at the Obamacare proposals, because you know what riders are, those things they attach onto the back.
You realize that, I got that. You realize that Obamacare is a pejorative. By the way, guess what I heard Rush call the president yesterday? Che. As in Guevara.
Guevara.
Yeah, because he's exactly like Che Guevara. Okay.
Che Guevara was a doctor.
Yeah.
Right, President.
Healthcare was not privatized.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kids.
Stephanie Miller.
It was an extremely popular show with an extremely simple premise.
Great. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Frank in Montana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Go
I've
ahead.
Been watching your show about 6 months and love your sexy liberal.
Thank you.
So I was talking about Christianity earlier, and I was wondering if their Republicans are reading the same book as the rest of us.
Yeah.
It seems that, you know, they're based in greed. They have a lack of empathy blatant prejudice against the president. And
yes,
if you can find that book, I want a copy of it.
All right, I will ask them for their special copy. Oh, by the way, this just in: Westboro Baptist Church blames the Oklahoma tornado on NBA player Jason Collins.
Right.
It's not all the gays. A specific gay caused this specific tornado.
Because he had everything to do with Oklahoma.
What?
Huh?
Great. Okay. All right. By the way, this gay, by the way, performed with the gay men's choir of West Hollywood. Remember this weekend? Mm-hmm. I hosted a thing for them, the Voice mm-hmm. Awards.
Yes.
And so they were on stage behind me, and I realized I forgot my best joke. I should have said I was backstage with these guys, and guess what? They saw my boobs. I was changing backstage, and I didn't do that.
Because they sang on stage at the Oscars.
Right, they sang that right. Famous, I saw your boobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's always funnier when you tell well after the fact.
Right, exactly, exactly. And then explain why you didn't do it.
Timing!
Timing.
Right. By the way, in other religious news, is Pope Francis an exorcist?
What?
Wow.
He's Bobby Jindal in drag?
This is fun. Is Pope Francis an exorcist is the news story today. The question has bubbled up ever since Francis laid his hands on the head of a young man in a wheelchair after celebrating Sunday Mass at St. Peter's. The young man heaved deeply half a dozen times, shook, and then slumped in his wheelchair as Francis prayed over him. So they're speculating whether that was actually a
demon leaving
right.
his body.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or it could have just been overexcitement from the Pope touching you, I suppose.
Sure.
That.
Or terror of the
right.
Pope touching you.
Yes. The television station of the Italian Bishops' Conference reported Monday that it had surveyed exorcists who agreed that there was no doubt Francis had either performed an exorcism or a prayer to free the man from the devil. Isn't that the same thing?
I
don't know. The Vatican was more cautious in a statement. It said Francis didn't intend to perform any exorcism. It may just happen. It may just be something he can't help. He didn't intend to. Fueling the... I did it again. Sorry.
Oops,
did you want to keep that demon? I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. I just did it reflexively. I'm sorry. I'll put the demon back if you want.
Put the demon back. Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Did I ask you to exorcise that demon? I am very close to that demon. Put it back. Fueling the speculation is Francis' obsession with Satan, a frequent subject of his homilies, and an apparent surge in demand for exorcism among the faithful. In his very first homily as Pope on March 14th, I did not know this, Francis warned cardinals gathered in the Sistine Chapel the day after he was elected that he who doesn't pray to the Lord prays to the devil. I would have a hard time paying attention to the Sistine Chapel, wouldn't you? I'd just be staring at the ceiling.
Yeah.
He said, that is amazing. Okay, and then he has since mentioned the devil on a handful of occasions, most recently in a May 4th homily, when in his morning mass at the Vatican Hotel Chapel, he spoke of the need for dialogue, except with Satan. There's no talk. He's like a Republican from Oklahoma. You cannot talk to him. With the prince of this world, you can't have dialogue. Let this be clear, he warned. So, I'm just saying, speculation. Bobby Jindal, for you, 9-4.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Bobby Jindal. Who knows if that's true? Oh, one only hopes for a presidential run again in 2016, don't you?
Oh, God. Well, it is true that he exorcised his girlfriend.
Not as in spinning class, but as...
Right,
yes,
he exorcised.
His college girlfriend had a demon.
Yes.
He bought her some Pilates equipment.
Right.
A spinning bike.
Yes, exactly. No, not that kind of... No, an actual exorcism.
That's right.
Apparently.
He admitted to it. He wrote about it.
Right. I just... Is it wrong
but
to hope
for that?
But he
doesn't believe in volcano monitoring.
That his wife could be first lady and just, you know, be giving a speech.
Hello. This is Bobby Jindal.
Maybe he didn't... It was incomplete.
Does your head spin around? That's what I want to know.
Franklin Ajay. Remember? Anyone? Remember
if it's not done correctly, do they come back? Is all I'm asking. Anne in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anne.
Good morning.
Good morning. I love
your show.
Thank you.
I'm a little blue dot surrounded by a red area in the mountains of North Carolina and eastern Tennessee.
Yikes. Hello, little blue dot. Go ahead.
I want to get back to Representative Tom Cole and what he said yesterday on the radio. He's a speaking, you know, he's not running again, so I guess this is why he said it. He was like, oh, the president called me and said, Michelle and I are praying for everybody there and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on to say about how well the science worked in Norman, Oklahoma to track this tornado. And I thought, oh, my goodness, how hypocritical. You're using the science for the tornado, but then they totally diss the science when it comes to climate change.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on which kind of science the oil companies believe in.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's go to Linda in Orange County. Hi, Linda. Welcome.
Oh, good morning. I was wondering, you know, I think maybe President Obama was handed a gift goose with this tornado. If he comes out and actually speaks to the people of America... actually, the partiality that these people are wasting, we never see these people in Washington, D.C., but they show up for scandal trials. They show up for things that's really not what's hitting us in America. The treason of not trying to fundle money for the funds for the children to eat, for old people to eat, but we're wasting time on Barack Obama's dime, sitting here going over things that don't exist with the Americans. I think he could talk to America and get this point across, that we're here with the partiality government run. It's just absolute treason to the country. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Oh, thank you. Oh. She'll take no further questions. She's done now. That was just a short statement. No, it is true, and this is what I was saying to Eric Waller. This piece in Salon is so true. They said it's white water all over again, meaning it's just you remember that. It was one, like, faux, you know, pseudo-scandal after another in the Clinton years, and they're not doing anything. They're not doing any governing. They're not undoing these sequester cuts. Steve Almond in Salon writes, Obama's quote-unquote scandals are not like Nixon. They're a fishing expedition to stop his agenda and find something bigger. Mm-hmm. And that's what they kept fishing until they found Lewinsky, which, by the way, Eric Bollard did say that scandal was elongated. He said the BJ scandal was elongated.
He did.
And that's why we love Eric Bollard.
Because of the fact.
I don't get it.
What? He said, and he talked about it's always disheartening when Bob Woodward shows up on the TV. I do think, like, he's gotten to this point where he wants to stay relevant, so he just says what, you know, whatever he thinks they want him to say to keep the media storyline going. Yeah. You know?
Are you saying that CNN calls him up and tells him what to say?
What? They don't tell me. I tell them. he said I don't know what show it was. He said, I have to go back 40 years to Watergate and Nixon to put out his edited transcripts to the conversations, and he personally went through them and said, oh, let's not tell this, let's not show that. I would not dismiss Benghazi. It's a very serious issue. So Steve Almond writes, you got that, viewer? The confused squabbling undertaken by bureaucrats in the foggy hours after a chaotic overseas tragedy is just like a sitting president orchestrating a month-long campaign of deception to hide his criminal activities undertaken by his reelection committee. I mean, it's, they sort of bring him on to go, let's give gravitas to this, you know, Watergate comparison. It's crap. No matter who says it. Thank you. Anyway, but he says it's the wrong historical reference. The scandals, quote-unquote, confronting President Obama are derived almost entirely from the political and media mindset that gave us Whitewater. That is to say, they're minor instances of bureaucratic incompetence and or executive overreach that are seized upon by hysterical right-wing media and politicians and eventually aggrandized by their craven mainstream brethren into a red alert, Chiron full-scale media narratives. This is what allows otherwise self-respecting journalists to flog stories that are all, by all rational standards, partisan boondoggles. Travelgate begot Filegate begot Troopergate, which begets Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
To put it plainly, Watergate was a fox hunt. There was actually, what he means is there was real crime.
Mm-hmm.
Whitewater was a fishing trip. The enduring lesson of Whitewater is that fishing trips can serve as an effective means of political opposition, particularly in the absence of a coherent governing agenda. Seriously, have you heard any Republican say anything about any issue that has to do with your actual life? It's all about, you know, the president this and the president
getting
that,
the president.
And Watergate, blah, yeah. You know. The recent controversies that have dogged Obama will in all likelihood amount to very little as legal or moral events. Nonetheless, they're already serving their intended function as an ad hoc campaign of distraction that has pushed the president's agenda off the front page and provides congressional Republicans safe cover to oppose his more popular measures or for simply refusing to perform any meaningful legislative function. For the foreseeable future, the front pages will be devoted to these fishing trips. I mean, that part's a little depressing. Anyway, he goes on to say, I mean, this is what we were talking to Eric about, seeing Rumsfeld on TV. He said, consider this thought experiment, particularly in light of how much cultural oxygen has been devoted to the four Americans killed in Benghazi. Imagine Barack Obama had been president. when a terrorist attack masterminded by Osama bin Laden killed more than 3,000 Americans on our soil. And that just 36 days earlier, he had received a briefing from the CIA entitled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Or imagine Obama launched a military invasion based on faulty intelligence, blah, 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 on and on. I mean, that's what they're saying. They're making these into things that are analogous, and they're not even close.
Right.
Salmon finishes in the Salon piece. We're no longer able to make basic moral distinctions between crises that actually impact our lives, climate change, resource depletion, income inequality, corruption of our political system by money, and ginned-up scuttlebutt. Who wants to confront the hard work of democracy anyway? You can just always hang out a sign on the country that reads, Gone Fishing. Very good. We should post that. Steve Almond, okay. In Salon. It's white water all over again. Ginned-up scuttlebutt. My favorite description lately. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Little Diddy. About Jack and
Stephanie Miller.
Two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star.
Steffi.
Instead of Tom backseat, oh, Jackie's car.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. David Schuster joins us next hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Stephen Miller, the acting IRS commissioner, by the way, testified yesterday.
This is acting commissioner. I want to apologize on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service for the mistakes that we made and the poor service we provided. The affected organizations and the American public deserve better.
Blah, blah, blah. He actually told Congress yesterday he knew little about what was happening. Or, excuse me, that was Doug Shulman, the Bush appointee, said that he didn't know what was happening when he was still commissioner. He said, I agree this is an issue that when someone spotted it, they should have brought it up the chain, and they didn't. I don't know why. Senator Max Baucus yesterday at the same hearing.
Targeting groups based on their political views is not only inappropriate, it is intolerable. We need to understand how and why this targeting occurred. We need to know who was involved and who was responsible.
I still don't think they were targeted because of their political leanings. They were targeted because they were a blatantly political organization.
Yeah, and can I just say, when I keep reading the, as you were talking about yesterday, Jim, the definition, I don't get it. What do any of those groups have to do with social welfare?
Right.
I mean, I think it sounds like crap to me, honestly. Like, I'm going, and on both sides, I'm like going, come on, those groups don't exist to do anything other than political stuff. I think it's the wording.
Well, not Greenpeace. But.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying. I those particular groups, I don't know what else. Maybe someone can tell me, what else do they do besides political stuff?
Right. And Tea Party's got party right there in them.
Right.
In the name there.
Which
like
political implies political.
Yeah.
Right. George in Gary, Indiana. Hi, George. Welcome.
Hello, Mama and Mook.
Hello.
Oh, I think my head's going to explode. I called because of this lady, the former officer in the Army, who said, if her subordinates and I didn't know what was going on, I'd have been fired from my job or demoted and blah, blah, blah. Newsflash, right-wingers. There's thousands of former Bush appointees hanging around in the Bush Obama administration offices in various departments because the Republicans are holding up appointees by Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
these
exactly.
People are not our friends. They're not friends of government.
Yeah.
They're appointees who probably got their job like that idiot who screwed up on Katrina. And after all, if you think about it, guys like Jonathan Carl. Wasn't he a Bush press guy before?
It's like that, George. You're right. Politically, it's like that peanut butter in my chocolate commercial. You got your Bush administration incompetence in our Obama administration, and then they're able to blame Obama. Right?
It's stinking up the soup, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're picking up, what you're putting down. Kevin in Atlanta. Hi, Kev. Welcome.
How you doing, you golden nugget, you?
Oh, hi, I'm sparkly, thank you.
Oh, in the moop. You know, I think the main problem with the Republican Party is that they're not even self-aware enough to know that world leaders watch people like John Boehner, and they hear them say stuff like, Democrat Party, as if that's good English or that makes them they can play a psychological game with the public's mind.
I think Frank Luntz didn't that memo become public that he said because the word rat is in it.
Like it was an accident.
Right.
Yeah. And one other thing, I have to ask you a question. Please.
Yes.
Is it a new style to wear? I mean, I was looking at some pictures of John Boehner's daughter's wedding, and I noticed he wore a suit instead of a tuxedo. Is that a new style to wear a suit instead of a tuxedo?
I don't think you're required to wear a tuxedo at a wedding.
There's a lot of things to criticize him for. That one, I don't really know.
I wear a tuxedo in the shower.
Do you, Jim? No. You seem just that kind of dapper gentleman. Daryl in Ventura. Hello, Daryl. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? I'm taking my call.
Okay, thank you.
I was calling just to see how you felt about our most transparent government in history. When you look at Fast and Furious, at what's going on in Benghazi, and you look at the IRS.
What's going on in Benghazi?
Well, the fact that we have stories being told to us, and we're trying to find out what's really happening, and we're getting clouds.
What's really happening? There's nothing happening now. It happened quite a while ago, and the questions have been asked and answered. How many more hearings do we need, do you think?
Well, it would be nice to find out who gave the talking points to the people and why. And
they've already answered that question. It was a turf battle between CIA and the State Department.
You are missing a multitude of emails. There are blocks of emails that are out. So
who said that? Who said there's missing emails?
There are 3 days of missing emails between when Benghazi happened and when emails came through. So what I'm just saying, though, is if we're so transparent.
I have not heard that reported anyway, Daryl. Okay, but what is your... Okay, what's
it? Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious, the Bush administration program that started under the Bush administration. What about it?
After 4 years of Obama in, you guys... Meaning the left continues to bring up Bush issues. Obama has flushed out
Bush administration started the Fast and Furious program. You're aware of that, right?
Bush did not do the cover up and let the guns go through, and it was blocked when it got to
what cover up? What cover up? Even Daryl Issa has given up on claiming there's a cover up on Fast and Furious. I think you're stuck like several scandals ago.
Yeah. Talking points are a little stale.
Look at the IRS agent Lerner now is invoking the Fifth Amendment. She's the one that knows what's going on. She's invoking the Fifth, which is her right.
Right.
But then you take a person like that, and now you promote her up the ladder to be overseen Obamacare with the IRS.
So what do you think she's going to do with the Affordable Care Act? What does that mean?
Well, she finds out you're a conservative.
She's going to deny you health care, right?
Why wouldn't she? She denied a tax-exempt status. God.
Okay. They are not going to be in charge of who gets... Actually, the insurance companies are the ones that get to do that now. All right, you know what? Thank God you're back. We need to spray because... Yes, you let a troll through because you had to go in the other room. So we need to spray.
Are you tired of cranky callers and childish chatters who only want a harsher talk show buzz? You've spent a lot of time and effort producing the best show possible, only to have them poop in your punch bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore. Introducing Troll Be Gone, the strongest solution for ridding your calls and chat rooms of troublemaking trolls. Just one spray... and Troll Be Gone.
Okay. I've been a chat room moderator for years. I used to fight with trolls all the time. Now I just spray them away from Ustream, live blogs, Twitter feeds, and Facebook profiles. Apply liberally, and it lasts for weeks.
Check out Troll Be Gone in action.
I'm a small business owner.
Look at the monkey.
I try to listen to both sides.
Order Troll Be Gone today. Now available in our 5-gallon concentrate.
You know what?
Oh, dear. That was a moldy little troll. Really? Why aren't we talking about the Fast and Furious cover-up? What?
More about the Hindenburg.
Yeah, boy. All right. 58. That was kind of old-fashioned. That was old-timey.
Old-timey.
Yeah.
Old-timey talking points.
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 6 minutes after the hour. This is my favorite game. It's tweaking Chris when I know he's really tense about technical things. Yeah, and I said, you want to punch me in the throat right now, don't you? And you said,
real effing hard.
Awesome. Wow, that's love. Okay, 1-800.
Well, you said something kind of douchey to me.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, that's our favorite game around here, kicking each other when we're down.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's family. You know, we need some fun. Fun, wow. Kathy and Scott from Illinois.
Wow.
That was great. I wanted to tell you and the Sexy Liberal gang, my husband and I had so much fun seeing you in Chicago. Chicago Sexy Liberal. I just bought some swag. Wow. Could you please play the fun wow for me and my husband?
Well, oh.
All right, we'll do it again.
Wow.
Yeah, Sexy Liberal swag is fun.
It is fun, wow.
Go to sexyliberal.com.
It's better than Fantasy Island,
right?
Or whatever.
You'll be ready for the West Coast one that'll be announced. Wow.
What?
I don't know.
Did I tell you that I was at a restaurant and someone recognized me and said, is there going to be a Sexy Liberal Los Angeles show? I'm like, I don't know.
Who can say? We'd have to kill you. Oh, by the way, speaking of you, Tim writes, please explain to Musclehead. That's you, because the camera behind you shows that it looks like you have a pack of hot dogs on the back of your neck.
Okay.
But they're just more muscles.
Mm.
The back of his head has grown new muscles. And this is the argument we've been having because we've gotten into scandal areas and Watergate and then the Clinton and whatever. And so I just said, as a former Catholic girl, I think technically Bill Clinton was right, that sexual relations means intercourse.
Still going back to that.
Tim says, please explain to Musclehead, pay attention, that intercourse is a generic term and relations is a synonym. A sexual intercourse and sexual relations mean the same. And he sent me the dictionary reference. Just saying, it means, you know.
Whatever.
I would do the hand motion, but I probably shouldn't. That's
no.
Scary. You know, okay.
Punch you in the throat.
All right, it means, I'm telling you, it means sexual
intercourse.
I'm in
no mood.
All right, fine. You know, in fact, this story made me think of you, particularly as tightly wound as you are this morning. Musclehead cheese lover that you are.
Uh-huh.
North Carolina woman accused of trying to poison five with cheese. A North Carolina woman is charged with trying to poison five family members after one of them refused to share some cheese with her.
I feel her pain.
She showed them.
I feel her pain.
The sheriff's office said she awakened before the rest of the family the next morning and used detergent, window cleaner, and household cleanser to poison the cheese. The rest of the family made breakfast with the cheese and began eating before one of them determined it was tainted. Everyone is fine.
Okay. I think you've noticed that.
Yeah.
Do not move her cheese again. Share.
A friend of mine gave me like a whole assortment of cheeses for watching his cat while he was out of town, and I kind of had that for dinner last night.
Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
I love cheese. I can't help it.
No wonder you look so backed up this morning and tense.
Believe me, it's other reasons. I don't think anybody on radio is hearing this.
All right. Jim, the headline is Zoo Puzzled How Anteater Got Pregnant. Jim, what did you do last weekend?
Nowhere near whatever zoo that was.
All right, come on. Who got the anteater pregnant? Somebody fess up. Wow. That has to be a lot of alcohol involved, because that is not an attractive animal.
No.
Okay. In Connecticut, no less. An anteater has given birth at a Connecticut conservation center, prompting officials there to wonder how the mother conceived. They had removed the only male anteater from the enclosure in August. That left the mother, Armani, and another young female, Alice, in the enclosure. Hmm. Little Archie was born in April anyway.
Hmm.
No idea if there was some hot girl-on-girl anteater action going on. This might be a rare case, according to the zookeeper, though, of a delayed implantation when fertilized eggs remain dormant in the uterus for a period of time. So I'm just saying, technically, I could still give birth to Donny Osmond's child.
Sure.
What did I say? I don't remember what happened backstage on my talk show. All right. This is,
Were you nearly a sister wife?
I don't know. It'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Okay. Not sure if this has been debunked or not, but have you seen this on the internet? Swedish man dies after having sex with a hornet's nest?
It's been debunked.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was debunked.
Yeah.
He was found.
It's like their version of The Onion.
Yeah, it was debunked.
It's a cool story.
It's been debunked. I didn't send that to you.
I know.
Okay.
I was hoping that it hadn't been debunked.
No, it was debunked that same day, which
really?
Is why I didn't send it to you.
That was debunked.
Yeah. I would have sent it to you if it wasn't debunked. Come on. A story like that?
None of it's true. The guy was not found dead or anything with a... Okay. It's a great story.
It is. It's a great story.
My favorite is the quote from the Swedish psychologist.
He said, yump and yimini.
Yump and yimini.
Yump
and attempt yimini. To have intercourse with a hornet's nest is a very bad idea. See how I... Intercourse.
Sure.
See? Well, I don't even... Technically, that'd be intercourse.
That's intercourse.
I mean, insect course.
But it would be a bad idea. Damn.
Yeah.
Why can't some things be true?
I know.
Why can't I be having Donny Osmond's child and that guy have tried to have sex with a hornet's nest?
Some things in life just... You then, can't have.
Well, this happened. New York man rubs pepperoni on his penis and then puts it back.
That did happen.
Ah.
That happened.
That happened.
And we all let it, apparently.
That's
wow.
True.
A Potsdam, New York man was arrested Wednesday and charged with public lewdness for allegedly rubbing a grocery store's packaged pepperoni stick on his exposed penis and then putting it back on the shelf.
Oh, well, it had packaging on it, so it's probably...
Well, okay, he didn't rub the pepperoni itself. He rubbed the packaging. That's not nearly as gross.
Well, there's no word whether he... I love this. In addition to the lewdness charge, he was also booked on account of fourth-degree criminal mischief because the store had to dispose of the pepperoni for some reason. I guess nobody wanted that particular
package. You just wash it off? It was in the packaging?
Oh, that is not a three-second rule. That is gross.
Yes, it is a three-second rule.
Okay. You can have a discount. Yes. Did some guy rub his... Yes. Don't be so picky.
Yeah, you put that on the clearance shelf. Mark down.
Well, right by products right, that have been rubbed on right someone.
Yeah. Right by the used sex toys.
Exactly.
Yeah. Slightly used.
Yeah, because they sell used sex toys at
slightly
bodegas.
Slightly used vibrators.
What?
That's in it's in the irregular bin.
Yeah. When I worked at the record store, we used to call that the cutout bin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because they have actual cutouts.
Yes.
Dudes are gross, is my point. Okay. This is just dumb criminal stuff.
Okay.
We need some lighter news this week. It's been okay. Oh, I could also use my it's a marijuana related story.
Okay. Well,
mid burglary butt dial to 911 lands stoners in jail. Two 20-year-olds pocket dialed 911 as they were about to go on a minor crime spree.
My back pocket's buzzing.
I just want to smoke weed so bad right now, one of them said as the emergency dispatcher listened in. After a half hour or so, the conversation turned from smoking weed to burglary. Get the bolt and give me the hammer just in case, one of the two suspects said shortly after the dispatcher heard a window break and the two started shouting that they'd found prescription drugs.
Dude, 1,000 drugs.
Jackpot. The two suspects left the scene. The dispatcher passed along clues about their location to police, who eventually located the duo and pulled them over.
Wait.
One suspect said, "He's right behind me, dude. He's following the out of me, bro."
He said, "Oh, that is... Oh, I want to use that phrase."
Police officer
turned following
the car.
The...
"He's following the out of me, bro." Oh, I didn't think of that. Police officers searched the car, eventually finding prescription drugs and other stolen
items.
They
led them on a low-speed chase, no doubt.
They were surprised as anyone when they learned how they were caught. "This fool really called 911? One of the suspects said, "Damn. Damn.
Damn.
Damn, you dumb stoner."
Wait.
What?
Loser County
Loser
guy.
Loser County guys. Fucking butt dial the police.
Loser County guy.
All smoking right. A marijuana cigarette.
Eating some freshly rubbed pepperoni. All right. Dude, this pepperoni tastes like some guy rubbed his on it.
Are you okay, Saul?
Wow, Saul, you okay?
Wow. Is that me? Wow. Hey, Stephanie, love you, and I hate them. They are so hypocritical. But from New York City, Superstorm Sandy, 17 people drowned in New York City, 72 people drowned in the tri-state area.
Yep.
We waited an unprecedented 76 to 90 days for the FEMA.
Yep.
Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma was on yesterday morning. Chris Jennings asked, "So what's up with you? How come you want the Oklahoma money right away?" And he goes, "Oh, well, there was a FEMA slush fund. Some of the money went to the Virgin Islands and Washington, D.C., which I understand was also in the track of the storm."
Right.
There's no end to their hypocrisy.
Yeah, well, that's what
And nobody's talking about how the rest of the country, you know, like, it was like screw New York City.
Nobody can.
Yeah, no, so you're right, and I said that. You know, he's such a dunce, he doesn't get that a hurricane is different than a tornado. As you say, it was like from the Great Lakes down to the Caribbean were affected by Hurricane Sandy. Then, you know, it's just...
Tornado just covers a small amount of ground, relatively.
Yes, exactly. Mabel in Texas. Hi, Mabel. Welcome.
Well, hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, there was a man that called in earlier that said that the Republicans evidently weren't reading the same Bible about clothing the naked and feeding the hungry.
Yep.
And there was a Republican congressman who just couldn't wait to grab a microphone. And he said that Jesus wasn't talking to a group of people. He was talking to one individual at a time. And I wanted to ask him, when was the last time he personally went down to the streets and clothed a naked person or fed a hungry or went to a prison?
Yeah.
There is no
Mabel,
difference.
That, you know, and that's a good question. Is, you know, why can't they maintain not just Christianity, if that's their religion, but their humanity when it comes to voting? It's like when you look at these people pulling these poor kids out of buildings, they're not asking, you know, do you come from a Democratic or a Republican family? And but then when, the, you know, there's distance and they're on the floor of the Senate or the House, they don't have the same kind of empathy for people in need.
Not. Because you realize the people with the hurricane voted blue, and the people in Oklahoma, they vote red.
Right.
And Boehner couldn't wait to get on television and say, the money is on its way. If I have to hand carry it to get it there faster, right, I will.
Mabel, are you playing the xylophone while we're speaking?
I think that was a
clock. No, my clock. I have a time clock.
Yeah, I have a time clock. How charming.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, thank you, Mabel.
And it chimed quarter past the hour. That's what it did.
I pictured her like, ooh, hot mic. Okay. 17. She's cute. She's totes adorbs.
Yeah.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I can't make it down. I can't make it down. So get down your feet and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up, jump up and get down.
What age do you have to be, bro? That's just noise now. Okay. 22 minutes after.
50 is the cutoff. What?
22 minutes to the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number.
Grandma's not happy with the music choices.
No, I guess not.
Okay, this hour...
Kids today in their rock and roll 8-track tapes.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Big Commerce. All right, the president's carny talking about which scandal palooza are we on now?
This is the AP scandal.
Okay.
The president believes this deeply, that the press is allowed to pursue investigative journalism freely. He is a fierce defender of the First Amendment, of press freedom, and will continue to be. And, you know, you asked, again, about a specific matter, and I can't comment on the specifics of any ongoing criminal matter. But if you're asking me whether the president believes that journalists should be prosecuted for doing their jobs, the answer is no.
By the way, I've been hearing a lot of stuff about the particular leak. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, it was the operation in Yemen, and I think somebody got killed. I mean, this is the problem, is like some of these reporters, it isn't stuff that should be reported because it gets Americans killed. You know, it gets CIA, it gets undercover agents killed.
Right, but how did the reporters get it in the first place? Were things not tight enough?
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, again,
that's a problem.
Yeah, but they've been all about, you know, classifying or, you know, prosecuting leaks, classified leaks. And, you know, it's just, again, they will do any storyline that's bad for the president, whether it, you know, is something they previously believed in or not. This is on Benghazi.
Oh, yeah.
This is our official greeting, by the way. Benghazi, Jim.
Benghazi. Jay Carney got a little testy yesterday.
Yes.
I would say, that the Republican obsession with the talking points surrounding Benghazi is provably and demonstrably political and has focused on talking points instead of the tragedy that happened in Benghazi.
Ah, thank you. Okay. By the way, John Favreau is the president's was this president's speechwriter, so you know he knows him pretty well. And I was mentioning this piece earlier in the Daily Beast, but he wrote how Obama handles crisis, and it's, you know, it's what I pointed out so many times. He said, "Do you know how many headlines there's been even from back in the campaign what that was going to be the crisis that was going to kill Obama's career and blah blah blah." He writes, "The hand-wringers and bedwetters in the D.C. punditocracy should know that Barack Obama will never be on their timeline," says his longtime speechwriter, John Favreau. And he says, honestly, they act like it's his first crisis. Sometime after the infamous Denver debate last fall, I thought Chris Matthews is going to stroke out, which by most media accounts should have forced the president to immediately quit the race and resign in shame. Anyway, he was sitting around with a bunch of other Obama folk. He said it lifted our spirits to recall how many times the president had been so mistakenly and definitively counted out over the last 8 years. And he, you know, he just goes on to enumerate all of them. But he said as he was traveling, I told this story to Eric Weller, I think, as he was traveling on Marine One on Monday, Mr. Obama took note of the news reports describing last Friday as a terrible day. He said, you know, it was actually a terrible day. The day Benghazi actually happened. But he, anyway, goes on to say that his decisions are driven primarily by politics is to fundamentally misunderstand the man who occupies the Oval Office. Bailing out the auto industry wasn't even popular in Michigan at the time the president made the decision. No one would mistake health care reform for a political winner. The president's national security team couldn't give him more than a 50% possibility that Osama bin Laden was in that compound, and a miss or worse could have ended his political career. This is a president who has seen the nation through many serious and consequential crises, and he's done so without losing the core of who he is or why he ran for this job in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he ends by saying the president was not willing to fire a bunch of people in any of these scandals before knowing all the relevant facts. He was not willing to go on a witch hunt before the investigation of the independent inspector general was complete. That was more important to him than his short-term political standing in the eyes of the Washington Press Corps. That's who he is. He does not value being first over being right. He will not spend his presidency chasing news cycles. He will not shake up his White House staff just because of some offhand advice offered to Politico by a longtime Washingtonian or nameless Democrat who's desperately trying to stay relevant.
Yeah.
And I think that's true from someone that really knows him well.
Very good point.
Terry in Wisconsin on Benghazi. Benghazi. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah. I served in Vietnam for 15 months, and my wife was saying to me, she doesn't understand. You know, there were 60,000 guys killed in Vietnam and 2 million Vietnamese were killed.
Yep.
And some of my friends, you know, didn't make it and wasn't a real happy experience. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyhow, why are two CIA operatives and an ambassador who chose to be there? He wasn't drafted.
Right.
And someone else, why are they more important than the thousands of guys that died in Vietnam, the thousands that died in Iraq, the 100,000 or 200,000 civilians that died in Iraq? Why, it's like with Somalia, where 8 special forces die, and because it's Clinton, it's horrible, but when thousands of people die, when Republicans screw up, why are these four people more important than me and my friends? Just because we're PFCs?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I have touched the wall in D.C., as I'm sure you have, and I thank you for your service, and that is a great, great point. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Do you remember my tattoo mishap? It was supposed to say peace, but they wrote white hooker instead.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
For current TV, our good friend, David Schuster.
Oh, yay. As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster
Wednesday.
Coming up on Wednesday.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Good morning, most interesting.
Oh, Stephanie, always a pleasure to be with you. How are you doing today?
I swoon whenever you say Stephanie. Okay. where do we start with the scandal palooza? I was just reading a piece by John Favreau, and I thought in the the president's former speechwriter. But I mean, he just talked about if you could count all the media storylines starting from the primary about how Obama's toast and this scandal's the worst scandal in the history of anything ever. I mean, and I think that's true largely. What do you think in terms of the three scandals we're dealing with now?
I think, first of all, I think the Benghazi scandal is not going anywhere. That one's dying out in part because of the ABC story, which was shot down by the emails that were released. There was no there. There was no effort by the White House to try to cover anything up or coordinate any storylines or protect the State Department. So that story's going away in a couple weeks, I think. I think people forget about that one. There's still no story there. As far as the IRS, I mean, I think there's a growing sense that among Americans that first when you hear, oh, my God, the IRS is targeting specific groups, it sounds horrible. But when you realize that these were groups that were asking for tax-exempt status,
right,
and they were simply pouring and polluting, pouring tons of money to pollute the presidential campaigns and other campaigns, a lot of Americans say, well, wait a second, maybe we really should take a close look at all of these groups on both sides. And It just so happens, I think, as people are learning, that 85% of the groups that were applying for this tax-exempt status in the 501c4, they were conservative groups. So by its nature, conservatives would have been targeted disproportionately. So I think that story also doesn't really have that many legs. I think the story that does hurt the president is this whole idea of, you know, spying on reporters and going after personal phone calls and records of the parents. And because that really does, I think Americans really do think, wait, you're treating reporters like they're criminals, and that's how you justify getting subpoenas and going to a court. That really does seem heavy-handed. And I think it's, you know, look, I disagree with most of what Fox News does and most of their, you know, reporting and whatnot, but there's still, I think that sort of this idea that, well, wait a second, don't elevate them even more by, you know, using such heavy-handed tactics. And I think that's the scandal that's going to stick around for a while.
Well, you know, David, it's interesting because we were saying the problem, again, with Republicans, I guess, is the hypocrisy, right? Because they've been pushing the Obama administration to be tougher on classified leaks, right? I mean, there's always a double standard, right? They, you know, back in the Bush administration, they said it was bad until it was okay to leak Valerie Plame's name, right? I mean, they're very selective in their outrage.
Yeah, leaks are fine as long as it benefits them. I think, you know, that's the thing is, I think this is one of these scandals, though, where it's not so much, you know, Republicans are going to be able to keep sort of fueling this. I think they sort of go off the side. I think this is one of these things where at least a lot of the moderates and folks sort of in the middle of our country stand up and say, well, wait a second, this really does seem pretty, you know, heavy-handed. And the fact that it's, you know, not just Fox News, but Associated Press, and it just seems that the administration was so either defensive, and some of the, yeah, and I think, you know, where the administration, I think, really got hurt, for example, in the AP story, is literally the day after Eric Holder said this is one of the worst, you know, national security leaks he had seen in his, you know, 30-some years.
Right.
The Washington Post puts out the TikTok saying, well, wait a second, you know, the very day after the Associated Press ran this story, the White House had planned anyway to go public and to, for PR purposes, to talk about what they had accomplished. And so, well, if the White House was planning to do that anyway, and the Associated Press clearly respected the administration's desires to hold off on a leak while the national security stuff was protected. Then it suggests that Eric Holder was speaking out of the side of his mouth and is not somebody who could be trusted. And I think Eric Holder already has a public perception problem for a whole host of other issues. And at a certain point, I think the administration is going to have to cut him loose.
Yeah, I had heard that you thought that. Interesting. And, I know our friend Mike Tomosky has said the same. It's so funny. I think I'm of two minds about that, David, because I think that you can't help that. I just feel like this president has been under such unprecedented sort of siege, and some of it just, I have to say, sort of blatantly racist. And so I think it is that thing of, you know, is he really going to give them a scalp? Because it's never going to be enough for them. Right?
Yeah, it'll never be enough. And I don't think he should, you know, give the scalpel to Eric Holder to appease Republicans. I mean, if that were the equation, then I would say hold on to the guy. I think it's more just sort of a matter of, you know, in part because of progressives and just basic sort of integrity that, yeah, Eric Holder, some of the things that he has said, I think has infuriated progressives and liberals as much as conservatives. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, no matter what the president does, Republicans are going to overreach. They're going to claim that he needs to be impeached, you know, for anything. You know, there's Michelle Bachmann talking nonsense the other day about the IRS controlling Obamacare. I mean, it's absurd. And, oh, by the way, Michelle Bachmann is under FBI investigation,
yes,
by the IRS for her presidential campaign. So it's just, I mean, the hypocrisy is stunning. Nonetheless,
right,
I think there is a certain sort of feeling on the left that, the president needs to, you know, the fact that the Department of Justice wouldn't go after anybody in the Bush-Cheney administration, hasn't prosecuted any of the banks to cause their economy to collapse, but they're going so hard after reporters, it just seems like the priorities over the DOJ are so out of skew. And for that reason, I think it's their number of progressives who are feeling like, regardless of what Republicans want or whether we give them a scalp or not, just because of, I think, what Democrats want, the president needs to do something fairly dramatic to say, hey, the Department of Justice has its priorities wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We got a hilarious letter earlier about, because Chris was saying, oh, you know, he was in right-wing radio when Clinton was in and they hated him just as much. And, you know, the writer was a black gentleman and he said, excuse me, I never saw a picture of Clinton with a bone through his nose. I never saw somebody yell, you lie at him. I've never seen, you know, and I think a lot of people are aware of that. I was struck by, you know, obviously there was so much tragic news out of Oklahoma. I don't know if you saw, you know, the president's speech at Morehouse College, and a lot of people said really one of the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of his career, and of course, predictably, the right wing made it a racial, like, and they made it completely the opposite of what it was. You know, he was, the Drudge Report, of course, said something, he says, Obama uses commencement address to recall Jim Crow racism of the 40s and 50s, and made it seem like he was, you know, a whiny race baiter, and the speech was exactly the opposite.
Right. I agree with you 100%, and I think there is racism that feels conservative, right? It's ugly, it is disgusting, it is un-American, and it's something we should all condemn. But I also think at a certain point, still, even despite, you know, all the racism and all the hatred and the fact that Republicans and the conservatives are just going to, you know, ridicule this president and do everything they can to block him, the president still needs to have his own standards. And even if his standards are so much higher than the Republicans, the president should say, look, I think the Department of Justice has gotten, you know, the priorities are out of whack. There have been some things that Eric Holder has said or done that has questioned his credibility, not with Republicans, but with Democrats. And for that matter, we need to make a change, knowing full well that the racism and all the efforts to block this president are going to continue no matter what he does. But just for the sake of, I think, of Democrats being able to look in the mirror and say, hey, we're going to abide by a certain sort of level of integrity and ethics on our side, regardless of whether the other side pays any attention.
Yeah, I mean, we had one of our favorite right-wing callers this morning, David. I mean, it is sort of hilarious, though, for people that hate Obama. We've talked to several callers in Oklahoma that just said they hate Obama so much, yes, they will vote for the, who was it, Coburn's, mm-hmm. that literally want offsets to get disaster funding for his own state, right? I mean,
the amazing thing, you know, Coburn and Inhofe, the two Oklahoma senators who did everything they could to oppose Hurricane Sandy relief because there weren't offsets. I mean, what are these guys going to do? Are they going to vote against Oklahoma relief now because there aren't offsets? I mean, go for it. But it's just, it's enough to think. I mean, there's just such visceral hatred and racism on the right. And it is so disheartening and so disgusting. And also the hypocrisy. I mean, there was, you know, Charles Krauthammer on Fox News the other day complaining about how the head of the IRS division that was in charge of looking over exempt organizations, that she's pleading the fifth. And he was complaining about, oh, this just proves that there's something there. And Charles Krauthammer was the same person who praised Scooter Libby for taking the fifth during the Howard there. I mean, hypocrisy is stunning.
It's stunning. Yeah, I mean, Inhofe literally said this morning, oh, no, that was different. Hurricanes, it's like, oh, of course it's different because it was a blue state and it wasn't your state. I mean, you know, and they try to, you know, put forth some bogus reason why this is different. That was a slush fund and this won't be. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And the one thing I will say is that I see a lot of similarities between this and what happened in 98 with Clinton, where the Democrats got huge gains in the 98 midterms because the Republicans overreached in impeachment. And I see the same thing, even though I think there is some legitimate concern here, which is why a number of us here are so frustrated with the Justice Department. Leave it to the Republicans to completely overreach, to make this in such a sort of to oppose this president in such a sickening manner that I think the president's approval ratings will continue to rise and Americans will say, okay, the Republicans care nothing but damaging this president and doing it in such a way that it's so over the top that we can't trust them in any sort of leadership position in government.
Yep, I hear you. David, always a pleasure, my friend. We will talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Stephanie. Take care.
Thanks, David. Kind of a wonky phone this morning, but Peter Beinart wrote this piece about it, and I knew it. We didn't have time to talk about it because of all the tragedy in Oklahoma, but you know, the headline is Brilliant Speech by Obama, Ugly Reaction by Drudge. And I don't know if you saw any of the speech at Morehouse.
It was
the opposite of what... Literally, the headline is, I'm a black man. Obama used commencement's address to recall Jim Crow racism of the 40s and 50s. As an African-American, you have to work twice as hard. Those were the three headlines on Drudge Report after the president gave his commencement speech at the historically black Morehouse College. The implication was clear. Far from the gaze of white America, Obama has exposed himself as the militant, separatist, blame white and black nationalist conservatives have long thought him to be. This is the Glenn Beck, oh, he hates white people. Beinart writes, it's hard to know whether to laugh or cry. In fact, Obama never used the phrase, I'm a black man. What he did say was that there are some things as black men we can only do for ourselves. He went on to declare that we know that too many young men in our community continue to make bad choices. And I have to say, growing up, I made quite a few myself. Sometimes I wrote off my own failings as just another example of the world trying to keep a black man down. I had a tendency sometimes to make excuses for me not doing the right thing, but one of the things that all of you have learned over the last 4 years is that there's no longer any room for excuses. Nobody cares how tough your upbringing was. Nobody cares if you've suffered some discrimination. So, as Beinart says, Obama gave exactly the kind of tough love, individual responsibility speech conservatives claim African-American liberals don't give. You know, he got a thunderous applause at Morehouse. Drudge and Boyle respond by calling Obama a whiny race baiter. So it doesn't matter what the president says or does. They're going to cast it in the opposite light anyway. So, all right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Say that to all the guys.
Right, right. Nothing like talking about your teenage sex stories during the commercial break. 50 minutes after the hour. No, we were just saying this case of, is her name?
Caitlin Hunt.
Right.
In Florida.
She's the 18-year-old who was having a consensual relationship with another girl who was, they were 14 and 17 at the time.
Right, but they didn't start having sex until Caitlin turned 18.
Right, and so the parents have had her arrested.
Right.
Yes. And I was saying, I was 14, my high school boyfriend was 17, and then he turned 18, and
So then.
And I just ran into him when I was speaking. I should have told him, I could have you arrested now.
Did you turn him gay?
No!
Really?
No, no, no.
Wow!
No, this was the first high school boyfriend, when I was 14. Yeah.
Oh.
He was the one that used to take me underage drinking.
Did your dad know about this relationship?
I could have him arrested for a lot of things now if I wanted to.
Why don't you give his name and address
and phone number while you're
there. Yeah. What's the statute of limitations?
You can't tell me that there's not homophobia involved. That's ridiculous. There's a lot of kids in high school.
I would like to know if they prosecute opposite-sex couples in the same way.
Oh, please.
Way
that's ridiculous.
Or if they were targeted just because it was a same-sex relationship.
Yeah, and here's another reason why we need marriage equality anywhere. Judge says lesbian mom's partner must go. Did you hear about this story? This is exactly why we need uniform laws across. I mean, this is ridiculous. Paige Price and Carolyn Compton have been together for almost 3 years, but a Collin County judge is forcing them apart. Judge John Roach, a Republican who presides over the 20-whatever district, enforced the morality clause in her divorce papers. Under the clause, someone who has a dating or intimate relationship with a person or is not related by blood or marriage is not allowed after 9 p.m. where the children are present. Price was given 30 days to move out of the home because the children live with the couple. Well, first of all, they can't get married because it's not legal in that state. So, she posted about the judge's ruling on Facebook last week, writing the judge placed the clause in the divorce paper because he didn't like Compton's quote-unquote lifestyle. She said, our children are all happy and well-adjusted by his enforcement being that we cannot marry in this state. I've been ordered to move out of our home. Oh. I mean, come on. Who thinks that's right? I mean, that's just... And by the way, did you see this? Another reason why we need consistent gay rights laws across the United States. Guess what is the gay parenting capital of the U.S.? Jim Ward?
Phoenix.
No.
Close, actually,
really?
Though. Yeah.
Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Huh?
Huh.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Right. Contrary to public perception about New York and San Francisco as meccas for gay families, it's actually Salt Lake City and its surrounding suburbs that have the highest rate of gays and lesbians raising kids.
Counterintuitive.
Well, what do you think of that?
What do you think of that? After analyzing census data, researchers found 1 in 4 gay couples in Salt Lake City are parents. The researchers said a big chunk of them are people who had children young with opposite-sex partners before they came out. That may be one reason that in some more conservative places not known for celebrating gays and lesbians, a striking percentage of same-sex couples are rearing children. And that was what somebody argued at the Supreme Court, that, that those, you know, 11,000-whatever kids have an interest in this case and how this turns out.
Absolutely.
They're from these families. Among states, Mississippi has the highest percentage of gay and lesbian couples raising children, 26%. Just saying. Though Salt Lake City has a high percentage of gay couples raising children, the actual number is still much smaller than coastal hubs such as New York or L.A. Let's see. Other large urban areas where gay couples are more likely to have children include Virginia Beach, Detroit, and Memphis, Tennessee. And as it turns out, gay parents choose to raise kids in places like Salt Lake City for the same reasons that straight parents do. Go figure.
Because they're family friendly.
Proximity to relatives, community ties, and cost of living.
Yeah.
What? It's almost like gays are people.
Like they're regular people or something.
Right?
Wow.
When they're not, when they're not causing hurricanes and tornadoes.
Yeah, that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. There may be a little backlashian stuff happening, but this is disturbing in New York. Two more reports of anti-gay attacks in New York City, hours after New Yorkers rallied in response to a spate of gay bashing that's resulted in one death and fueled concern about hate crimes. There were two more reports of possible anti-gay attacks on Manhattan streets. The New York police has increased their presence in several Manhattan neighborhoods through the end of June, which is Gay Pride Month. And this the suspect in the Greenwich Village slang... He was laughing when he was arrested. Isn't that nice? He's accused of executing a gay man in Greenwich Village, laughed and boasted about the murder. He said, yeah, I shot him in the head. He sneered while laughing on the ground as cops were handcuffing him.
Yeah, he's not going to be laughing in prison,
no.
I don't think.
No. All right. Oh, hey, speaking of prison, Jodi Arias says the jury betrayed her. She will not be ignored.
I'm not going to be ignored.
She has now asked jurors to spare her the death penalty. I guess after chatting with her lawyer, she has changed her mind. Reversing statements she made after her conviction, she said she wants her life in prison to be spared for the sake of her family. She also said there's many things she could do in prison to affect positive change.
Yeah, she's selling T-shirts to raise money for...
And her hair. She's selling her hair.
Okay.
Yes, she is... Well, for cancer patients, she sold... has given her hair to charity. She said,
given it, I hope. Not sold it for charity.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I meant. Sorry. Donated.
Okay.
Donated.
Yeah, thank
That'd be
you.
Bad. That'd be bad. No, donated her hair.
That'd be... What, and stabbing her boyfriend isn't bad?
Just
but selling her hair is the worst thing.
Now, that is awful.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to live in prison, she said, I will continue to donate to that organization for the rest of my life. Wow, she must use Ovation Cell Therapy. Because that's, you know, hard to keep giving that much hair unless you have fabulous hair. She said she would also like to continue for campaigns for literacy and to curb domestic violence.
Yeah.
A little late
for
that.
I wanted to start at home on that. Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, looky here. Michelle Bachmann and Jim Graves locked in a close race.
I saw that.
Did you see this? A new poll shows him actually up 47% to 45%.
The race is a year and a half out.
Okay.
A lot can change in a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But that's encouraging.
Marcus must have the vapors.
Graves is a barbarian who must be disciplined.
Yes.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
So the Senate dragged Apple Inc. into the debate over the U.S. tax code.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Grilling CEO Tim Cook over allegations that Irish subsidiaries helped the company avoid billions in U.S. taxes. Yeah, why not? The Senate subcommittee released a report Monday that held up Apple as an example of illegal tax avoidance that made possible by the U.S. tax code. It estimated that Apple avoided at least $3.5 billion in U.S. federal taxes in 2011 and $9 billion in 2012 using this tax strategy. I think this is the problem. I think it's too much. Somebody called them tax cheats. I don't think they're cheating. The problem is our tax code allows this, and it shouldn't. And that's the point. Jay Carney said that. The president has a... has long favored proposals to ensure American companies cannot use offshore profit shifting to avoid paying taxes. This has been a major priority of his because he thinks it's inexplicable our tax code would actually be written in a way that rewards companies for taking jobs and profits offshore and thereby penalizes companies for doing what we want them to do, which is create jobs and opportunity here. And my favorite part of it was John McCain took a break from grilling Cook to say, why the hell do I have to keep updating the apps on my iPhone all the time?
Really?
Old man shakes fist at iCloud.
When was the last time you updated your apps?
I do it when it tells me to do it.
All right.
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.